Hebrews chapter 5, are you there yet? I'll begin reading verse number 1. Since for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself is compassed with infirmity? And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, so offer for sin. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. As we note those first 5 verses, it is speaking of the high priest and what he has been ordained by God to do. And yet, in spite of that, he has to offer sacrifices not only for the people, but for himself. That makes the next few verses very unique. So also, Christ glorified himself. Glorified him, not himself, to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. We know that to be God the Father. And he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, that he yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation and all them that obey him. By the way, Jesus didn't die for himself. He didn't have any sin, but he died for ours. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we may have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that ye teach again, that one teach you again, which ye, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. For strong meat belong to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. First of all, the book of Hebrews, I believe, was written to be an exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is compared to many things throughout this book. And what we find is he's always better. He's better than the angels. In Hebrews 1, verse 4, it says, Being made a much better, being made much better than the angels, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. I believe he's better than Moses. In chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath built the house hath more honor than the house. We find in verses 3, 4, 5, and 6 of the text that we have read that he's a better high priest. He could go before the Lord and speak on our behalf, not having to stop to take care of his soul. I believe that it's here that we learn of his sufferings in prayer in verse number 7. Says, Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. He was heard, and that he feared. Interesting. I believe this be the time that Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. I believe also he learned obedience from his sufferings. Since though he was son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. By the way, how many have ever received a whipping? You have received a whipping. Is that all? Okay. Did it teach you something? Yeah. It teaches us something. And so he's telling us here. He learned obedience from suffering. And then he became the author of eternal salvation, as we find in verse number 9. And then he says something. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Melchizedek was the king and high priest over Jerusalem in the days of Abraham. We find from Scripture that Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. If you go to chapter 7 and verses 1 through 7 of Hebrews, you will find that the Jewish people, through Abraham, paid tithes. What the point is there especially is that even the priest and the high priest, through Abraham, paid tithes to Melchizedek. And it says something interesting. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Notice the last few words. Seed, you're dull of hearing. Seed, you're dull of hearing. That's an interesting accusation. You know, when we should have been teachers, we find in verse number 12, we're still students. And we haven't grown in Christ. God's people, I believe, often do not listen carefully. I imagine, and this has been proven so many times, if I whispered in my granddaughter's ear, by the time it got to her uncle, it would have changed maybe 3 or 4 times, and the message would have been different. The reason is that we do not listen carefully. And as a result, we find that we must be taught over and over again. We find those who are unskillful in the Word of God are called babies. There are those who are mature. There are those who are babies in Christ. I believe it's a plague that has gripped our TV generation, our gaming generation. And they have a hard time concentrated on the spoken voice. And besides that, there are so many voices that people begin to ignore who is right. When you have news media 24/7, and you have Facebook and all these other things, we find that there's many, many voices. And people are wondering, which one is right? And yet we find over and over again in Hebrews that he warns us against faltering hearers. This word dull means lazy. And this is a setting that conveys the idea of not concentrating as we ought. I want to share with you a few of those warnings throughout the book of Hebrews. We find in chapter 2, in verse number 1, he says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We find in our nation there are many memorials. We have a day called Memorial Day. If you were to travel to Gettysburg and drive around the battlegrounds, which I thought were just a small area, do you know it took 3 days or three different battles at the Battle of Gettysburg because it encompassed such a land area? And you would, every time you drive a block or two in that great area, you'll find a memorial to different people that were there, different circumstances that took place. We find that our cancel culture today wants to eliminate these. I believe that they might establish themselves as kings and princes. And so we must have memorials. I believe preaching has a goal of people remembering. I hope that when you go from here, you remember a few things, so there's more earnest heed to the things that God has given us, lest we forget. In chapter 3 also, we find in verse number 7 and verse 8, it says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, and not harden your hearts, as in the provocation, in the days of temptation, in the wilderness." Interesting. If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, the days of the provoking that Israel made to the Lord Jesus, or to the Lord, as he was taking them out of Egypt into Israel, the land of promise. He promised them that land. But they sent spies into the land and felt like they could not overcome the Canaanite. As a result, we find that they were in a 6 or 7 day journey that took only they were in a 40-year journey, that they could have done in 6 to 7 days. Why? Because they did not listen to the Spirit of God that was speaking to them and trying to teach them the direction to go. I would say to you today, listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to the Spirit of God. He will lead you in ways that you never believed. Now, I'm not one that's going to wave my hands and walk people to head. They fall on the floor and say, "That's the Spirit of God." But I do believe that he speaks to our hearts in an individual basis. And he wants to do that. We need to listen to him. Also, I find another one of these warnings that God gives us, found in chapter 3 and verse number 15. It is this while it is said, "Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation." Hear his voice. Daily exhortation guards us against that which is wrong. While it is said, just hear your voice. And then in verse in chapter 4 and verse 7, hearing will prevent a hardening of the heart. It says again, "He liveth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Harden not your hearts. It prevents hardening of the heart. And then lastly, listen to this. God wants us to provoke one another. Not provoke God, but provoke one another. What do you mean by that? Make him mad? No. Does not mean that. We find in Hebrews 10, verse 24, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." What does it mean? It means to help encourage people in the right direction. Provoke unto love and to good works. And then it goes on Interesting, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. When we come to church, it's not just to walk in, sit down in a pew or chair, listen to sing a few songs, listen to the preaching, get up and walk out. It's really a time that we could help to encourage other believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I would ask you to do something. While I sit in that chair back there in the back, I notice something. There are some who come in, they stop and they shake my hand, and they greet me, and it blesses my heart. How many are blessed when somebody must stop and shake your hand? I certainly am. But then there are those who simply walk by. Don't be a walk-by person. Be one that seeks to exhort other folks in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have a responsibility to a world out there that needs Him. And if you and I get discouraged, who in the world's going to reach them? I'm so thankful today to be saved. I'm thankful that when I was 19 years of age, that I accepted Christ my Savior. I'm thankful that I saw my need of the Savior, that I was a sinner, that I was one who could not pay for it myself. And I remember that when I saw that truth, I cried out to God, and I said, Lord, that's what I've been looking for. And it was. I was empty inside. And when I prayed, God gave me a peace like you could not believe. And God wants to do that for each and every person, if we'll only see ourselves as we are. Listen, Christian, we need to encourage each other to give our testimony. We need to encourage each other to give a witness of the blessed gospel of Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we have the wonderful privilege to gather together, the privilege to provoke one another to good works, to provoke each other to love the brethren and to love those in this world. And Lord, I thank you that we could give the blessed gospel to those that are not saved. And Lord, I pray this morning, if there's one in this room that is in that situation, that they would get saved this day. Oh God, I pray that you would honor your word in our hearts, and that results in our lives might come forth. We pray in Christ's name.